Hello, everyone. Patriot Underground here. So before we begin the show, I wanted to take a quick moment to remind everybody to check out PatriotSwitch.com. Click the link in the description and begin your journey making the switch to purchasing your personal and household products from a patriotic company who shares your value system and doesn't funnel your money directly into evil operations that are designed to destroy us. This is a no-brainer, folks. I made the switch and I couldn't be happier. And as I said, I only come out and support something that I personally use and believe in. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, enjoy the show. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is February 7th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So tonight, I'm going to provide a situation update report, and I'm going to expand on some of the information I put out on my last episode with regard to the CCP balloon fiasco that we've been witnessing over the past several days. Now, we're also going to do a deep dive on the history of these aerial vehicles being used as weapon deployment systems, dating back all the way to World War II. And specifically, we're going to get into the threat that these modern versions of this technology present with regard to functioning as delivery systems for hypersonic missiles, which can be used to create an EMP blast to take down the grid. And we're going to discuss a lot of things tonight. We're going to get into the devastating earthquake in Turkey yesterday, which tragically claimed thousands of lives. And of course, we know the death toll is continuing to climb. And we're also going to talk about the possibility that this was a DARPA-developed tectonic weapon deployed against a NATO member nation that is very seriously considering defection amidst the escalating conflict overseas. But before we get into these topics, I wanted to begin tonight with a sort of a situation report on the Russian operation in Ukraine and how this war is continuing to rage on despite the decimation, really, of the official Ukrainian security forces. Now, we've known since the beginning of this war that highly trained military personnel from NATO countries and the United States have been on the ground in the region. And of course, the official narrative has been that they're functioning in an advisory capacity, which is patently false, of course, and can be easily disproven when analyzing the reports coming from the front lines, as well as tracking the technologically advanced weapon systems, including tanks, surface-to-air missiles, and now, of course, fighter jets, which are being shipped to the region, or at least that's in the discussion. But we already know that tanks have been sent to Ukraine. Now, first of all, only 30% of these weapons are reaching the official security forces, while the rest of them are being funneled to the black market, and they're ending up in the hands of mercenaries. And not only that, these mercs and other foreign military personnel are the only individuals properly trained to be able to operate all of this equipment. And so currently, there are over 10,000, according to my research, over 10,000 CIA and private military groups that are active in Ukraine right now. And they're the ones who are doing most of the kinetic fighting with the weapons that I just mentioned, courtesy of NATO nations and, by extension, of course, you and I, the taxpayer. Now, reportedly, the Russians recently downed two Kabul helicopters with mercenaries aboard during a recent operation to rescue an enemy-aligned brigadier general who was being held captive at a liberated underground biolab facility. Now, according to Q the Storm Rider, the mission actually failed when the helicopter was shot down and a deep state U.S. colonel was among those taken prisoner, along with all the other NATO members who were on the helicopter and some French Foreign Legion members as well. Now, despite their presence in the theater, reports indicate that this mercenary army is sustaining massive, massive casualties. And the forces that remain are very close to running out of fuel after the only fuel depot left in the country was destroyed by Russia. And not only that, munition stockpiles are dangerously low, which is why we see the West continually sending aid packages of money and weapons to the Ukraine. Seems like every other day there's a new aid package that's being sent. But Putin's army has captured large amounts of NATO forces and, of course, deep state U.S. military assets. And that, in turn, is going to expose their attempt to prevent the destruction of these biolabs and, of course, other key enemy infrastructure at upcoming tribunals, where so many of the puzzle pieces will finally come together. Starlink, which is far more than just a satellite internet service provider, has been tracking cabal operations for a very long time. And it happens to be one of the most formidable weapons that the alliance possesses, unbeknownst to most people. The satellites actually have particle beam laser striking capability. And the alliance has been using Starlink to monitor deep state operations for some time now. And it's also rumored that these advanced satellites can manipulate frequency and function as tectonic weapon systems as well. And these two capabilities are kinetic trump cards for the alliance, allowing them to strike underground targets like dumps and to mitigate the effects of this electromagnetic attack on humanity. And of course, that includes the bioweapon attack of the jab 5G combination. Now, the deep state still has similar HAARP weather modification and tectonic weapon technology at their disposal as well, which I happen to believe that we saw deployed in Turkey and perhaps other locations as well. Clearly, there have been an abnormal amount of earthquakes recently, and we can expect that pattern to continue into the foreseeable future as these tectonic exchanges escalate. So this is an ongoing battle. And while the alliance and their non-terrestrial allies have superior technology, it's not as if the cabal doesn't still have some teeth that need to be extracted surgically. So on that note, why don't we segue a little bit into the earthquake wars, which we have seen play out recently with devastating results. The earthquake in Turkey, as I said before, was very likely caused by a high-grade tectonic weapon. And it ties directly into the cabal agenda to control Middle Eastern oil. Not only that, this was also done, I believe, to shift attention away from the Hunter Biden laptop investigation, which is scheduled to begin tomorrow. And this, of course, is part of a massive congressional initiative to demonstrate how the intelligence agencies and the federal bureaucratic systems have been weaponized against we the people. And by the way, there's now another 10-foot fence erected around the Capitol building, which we haven't seen since January of 2021. And certainly, it wasn't there last year during the State of the Union speech, and there was quite a lot of drama going on in the country at that time, as we all know. So this is causing a heap of speculation as to whether a major bombshell is about to be dropped. Not necessarily during the speech of fake Biden, but in the days and weeks ahead. Especially if we don't see that barrier taken down right away after the speech is over. But getting back to the earthquake in Turkey and the underlying agenda of the enemy, it's important to understand that the cabal had always sought to control the flow of oil from the Middle East into Ukraine in Northern Europe. Now, these pipelines that they wanted to establish would run through Syria, and therefore require a large-scale regional war in order to secure their control over energy. And so what we saw play out in Syria that resulted in over 5 million refugees flooding into Europe was the direct result of this agenda. So it's very likely that this earthquake was artificially caused by DARPA-developed HAARP technology to send a message to Turkey, who signaled recently their desire to leave NATO and to join the BRICS alliance. This is akin to the Fukushima disaster, which the enemy engineered in Japan to take control of that country. And by the way, Turkey is one of the most powerful militaries in the NATO alliance. And as far as Japan goes, my understanding, based upon my research, is that the Rothschilds sought to control Japan's GDP and had planned to use culture war against their people in the form of mass migration, just as we've seen in so many other developed nations in the past decade. However, white hat support from the Chinese dragon families, the Italian elites, outside the black nobility, of course, as well as the Bin Salman family, caused the cabal to back off their plans for Japan. Now, my belief is that this tectonic weapon was intended to intimidate Turkey into staying in the NATO alliance, and also very likely could have had the two-pronged objective of destroying underground tunnels and dumbs in that country. But it's certain that the deep state cannot afford to lose one of their most powerful military forces in their criminal army, especially as the war in Ukraine is expanding. So the cabal is using the weapons still at their disposal to prevent the dissolution of their unelected bureaucratic power structure, which includes NATO, the UN, the EU, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, amongst many others. And on the topic of tectonic weapons, my understanding is that the cabal wanted to use this capacity to unearth non-terrestrial technology, and in the process, create a new religion, using the technology to create a powerful new narrative that God doesn't exist, which would enable them to bring humanity fully under their control. And of course, this ties in to the Project Blue Beam false flag alien invasion, the initials for which are AI. Very interesting coincidence, if such a thing even exists. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about Balloongate, as many people are calling it. Now, it turns out, we now have South Korea announcing that they've detected similar launches from North Korea. And I'm going to touch upon the significance of that development in just a moment. But these quote-unquote spy balloons are actually modern versions of what began as low-tech military devices first used in World War II. Now, of course, China is officially stating that these are civilian weather mapping devices, which we know is laughable. Now, certainly, we understand that the CCP, if the primary intention was to spy, would undoubtedly have some very sophisticated, updated surveillance technology on these balloons. And it's been speculated that a part of what they were doing was probing for intel on how we would respond to this provocation in order to study how the chain of command is currently operating in the United States under continuity of government, and attempting to ascertain who's really in control. Now, Juan O'Savin has suggested that the White Hats may have allowed the balloon, which was identified by Strategic Air Command days before it even entered Alaskan airspace, to essentially traverse the country for their own intelligence-gathering purposes. His assertion was that the alliance wanted to see how the military would react in order to identify hidden CCP assets and moles who perhaps didn't follow protocol and left sensitive equipment out visible to the enemy that would enable the CCP surveillance balloon to perform successful reconnaissance. Now, South Korea has recently announced that their military also identified one of these balloons which entered their airspace traveling from North Korea, as I mentioned a moment ago. And their official response was that it was deemed not to be a threat, but rather a weather tracking device, just like the Chinese are saying. And there have also been similar reports in Costa Rica as well, and other parts of the world. So to me, this suggests that there is a much larger context to this narrative that we're being fed. Now, in my last episode, I said that these aren't quote-unquote spy balloons in the context of suggesting that surveillance of our defensive capabilities was not the primary objective, because our enemies already have gathered this intel. Doesn't mean that they may not want to get more and to fine-tune what they already have. I understand that it's a never-ending process, but for the most part, China has known for a long time what our basic defense posture is and where all of our major military assets are hidden. And as Juan talked about, the balloon actually stopped right above very secretive strategic military sites that are unknown to most of the public. So it's very clear that these aerial devices have the capacity to perform recon gathering missions. And Juan O'Savin's analysis that perhaps both sides are using these balloons to gauge responses for tactical planning purposes certainly seems to me to be a likely objective. However, I happen to be persuaded that the primary objective of these balloons was to test an EMP delivery system. Now, I think it's very important to establish why myself and others out there in the truther community have been making this assertion, that the official narrative is to hide the reality of what's going on beneath the surface, as usual. So let's dive into that a little bit. These high-altitude balloons are key delivery devices for EMP and/or nuclear strikes on our infrastructure. They've been massively upgraded since they first appeared during World War II to operate not only with maneuverability, but at altitudes of up to 200,000 feet. But more importantly, they can carry a tactical nuke that has the capacity to shut down the grid and wipe out electronic communication in vast portions of the country if it's detonated in the atmosphere. Now, in a 2015 report for the American Leadership and Policy Foundation, Air Force Major David Stuckenberg, one of the nation's leading EMP experts, wrote extensively about the threat balloons carrying bombs pose to national security. He wrote in the report, quote, "Using a balloon as a WMD platform could provide adversaries with a palette of altitudes and payload options with which to maximize offensive effects against the U.S. A high-altitude balloon could be designed, created, and launched in a matter of months. There's nothing to prevent several hundred pounds of weapons material from being delivered to altitude." End quote. And he went on to say about the recent deployment, "China's recent balloon flyover of the United States is clearly a provocative and aggressive act. It was most likely a dry run meant to send a strategic message to the USA. We must not take this for granted." End quote. So folks, this is an individual who's currently in the private sector, but as I said, he is one of the foremost experts in the country on EMPs. He's a national security expert, and he's a scientist who led the Defense Department's EMP Task Force and chaired the American Leadership and Policy Foundation. So I think it's fair to say this guy has some clue of what he's talking about. And he pointed to Japan's World War II Project Fugo that targeted the United States with balloon bombs as an example of the threat that we face today. And he said, quote, "Not since World War II has America faced a threat of this nature. Project Fugo in Japan used balloons to float bombs on the trade winds across the Pacific to the U.S. and Canada." And I'm going to discuss what Project Fugo actually was in just a moment for those who may not have heard of it. But EMP experts, including this guy who I just referenced, Major Stuckenberg, have warned that China, North Korea, Russia, and Iran all have programs to hit the U.S. grid with electromagnetic pulse weapons that could cut the power for very long periods of time, potentially a year or longer in some cases, depending upon our preparedness. And a congressional report has warned that a blackout that long would result in the loss of millions and millions of people. Folks, we're talking about a balloon EMP attack that damages and destroys electronic systems at the speed of light within an EMP field with a radius of hundreds of kilometers. And understand that the eastern grid of the United States generates 75% of all electricity for the entire population. It supports virtually the entire country, which would mean that it would be completely wiped out with a successful EMP strike. So this is very serious business. Now, for context, Project Fugo, which I mentioned a moment ago, is a very relevant history lesson for those inclined not to be caught off guard by what I do believe is coming. Now, back in 2015, the same year that David Stuckenberg warned about the EMP threat, NPR put out a predictive programming article discussing the 70-plus-year-old Japanese balloon weapons, one of which had recently been stumbled upon by forestry workers in British Columbia. And the article describes the origins of Project Fugo, saying, quote, "The dastardly contraption was one of thousands of balloon bombs launched toward North America in the 1940s as a part of a secret plot by Japanese saboteurs. To date, only a few hundred of the devices have been found, and most are still unaccounted for. The plan was diabolic. At some point during World War II, scientists in Japan figured out a way to harness a brisk airstream that sweeps eastward across the Pacific Ocean to dispatch silent and deadly devices to the American mainland. Furthermore, Project Fugo called for sending bomb-carrying balloons from Japan to set fire to the vast forests of America, in particular, those of the Pacific Northwest. And the objective was for the fires to create havoc, and in the process, destroy American morale, and thereby disrupt the U.S. war effort." And in an interesting sentence, the article foreshadows to what end these balloons may be deployed. It says, quote, "Another balloon bomb," and this is, of course, talking about back in the World War II era, quote, "another balloon bomb struck a power line in Washington State, cutting off electricity to the Hanford Engineer Works, where the U.S. was conducting its own secret project, manufacturing plutonium for use in nuclear bombs," end quote. So if these devices had this technological capacity a generation ago, and given all the quantum leaps, no pun intended, in weaponry innovation since then, there should be little doubt that the aforementioned capabilities of these balloons in terms of functioning as an EMP delivery device has long since been achieved. So the fact that these aerial weapon system delivery devices are now being spotted coming from North Korea as well as China provides us with very solid clues as to what's really at play. Keep in mind that China, North Korea, and Russia are all working together as a part of the alliance to bring down the deep state kinetic apparatus that is the core of the military-industrial complex and the last remaining power structure of the three vassal states. Both the City of London and the Vatican are now under white hat control, which leaves only Washington, D.C. to be dismantled publicly. And these events are scenes in this scripted movie, bringing us closer to that inevitability. Juan O'Savin, who I already referenced tonight, told us that we could expect to see both China and North Korea deliberately provoking our military at a time when it's already being stretched thin. And now we're seeing exactly that, just as Russia is beginning its massive offensive to occupy and denazify Ukraine, aka Khazaria. Clearly, this is a coordinated effort behind the scenes to force deep state assets to respond, and by extension, limit the opposition posed by the West in the escalating war in Europe. And throughout this process, the White Hat strategy to systematically break down the military, industrial, medical, technological, media establishment is working to perfection. Not only is the cabal's offensive war machine being destroyed by grinding it down, as Gene Decode recently explained, but the general population is also awakening to these threat vectors. And they're coming to realize just how vulnerable we are due to fake Biden's policies, or lack thereof. And indeed, the policies of those who came before him, other than Donald Trump, of course. So amidst all of the fog of war, we need to continually analyze all that's being exposed in the process. This balloon story sure is revealing an awful lot about what threats we face while tipping off the Patriot community as to where we're heading. And to add even more complexity to this developing story, we're also coming to discover that China has been using balloons as a delivery system for hypersonic missiles, which are the answer to overcoming the strategic defense initiative of the Reagan era, which most Americans still believe keeps us safe from nuclear attack or from missile attacks. The reality is, however, that hypersonic missiles launched at a low altitude from submarines or balloons are capable of eluding the quote-unquote Star Wars system, as it's commonly known. Now, back in October of 2021, The Hill published an article on the subject, and it discussed this technology and indicated that these hypersonic missile threats cannot be effectively mitigated by the SDI-era systems. And the article points out that nuclear-capable intercontinental-range hypersonic glide missiles present a challenge for the American military. And it specifically mentions that the Chinese missile is hard to track when it's in the mid-range stage of its flight, which can occur over the South Pole, because it bypasses American missile defenses. And once the missile re-enters the Earth's atmosphere, it can glide to its target from any direction, making it difficult, if not impossible, for these current, what are called, terminal stage defenses to engage and destroy the weapon. What's interesting, however, is that the article points out that now the Defense Department has the ability to track hypersonic glide vehicles more accurately using a constellation of low Earth orbit sensors capable of tracking. That sounds an awful lot like Starlink to me. And along these same lines, the article goes on to say, quote, "One way to address the short time frame in which a missile can be engaged during the boost phase is to use a beam weapon such as a laser. Unlike a missile, a laser would hit the target instantaneously once a firing solution is acquired, destroying the hypersonic vehicle before it separates from the launcher." End quote. Oh, and by the way, the article also said that at the time this was published, back in 2021, quote, "America's ballistic missile defenses are still inadequate to stop a determined nuclear strike on the American homeland. At best, it will ward off an attack by a rogue country such as North Korea or Iran," end quote. You're starting to see all the puzzle pieces coming together here, folks. I think it's very clear that we were being given intel back then about how the alliance would counter these threats posed by the enemy. In the same way that we were given intel about what perhaps may have transpired inside Cheyenne Mountain, as far as Donald Trump, which I talked about in my last episode. And it's also worth pointing out that there's ample evidence that these balloons have been upgraded to function as a deployment system for hypersonic missiles, which could be used to engage previously fortified targets, as well as trigger an EMP grid failure. The Epoch Times just put out an article recently highlighting that, quote, Chinese state-owned television aired footage of a high-altitude balloon dropping hypersonic weapons in 2018 that displayed a high-altitude balloon not unlike the one that traversed over the United States last week, carrying three hypersonic glide vehicles, HGVs for short, into high altitude and dropping them for testing. Now, the article then goes on to reveal that Chinese state broadcaster CCTV reported on the weapons test in September of 2018, but that the footage has essentially been scrubbed from the Chinese internet. Now, these HGVs are generally launched by rockets in a similar manner to traditional missiles. But upon reaching orbit, however, HGVs detach from the rocket and fly through the atmosphere using their own momentum. So these balloon-dropped hypersonic glide vehicles were a part of an effort to develop precision warheads for hypersonic weapons, which would give the Chinese military an unstoppable nuclear-capable weapon. And finally, the article states that while China has tested hypersonic missiles launched from balloons in the past, that it isn't a likely use for these airships. A more likely explanation is that they are being used to trigger an EMP blast. As the article states, quote, the biggest threat is sending one or more of these high-altitude balloons over the U.S. with a small nuclear EMP device. End quote. So obviously there's a lot more complexity to these innocuous sounding balloons than what's being presented by the MSM. And despite that, I do believe that the public is very rapidly getting up to speed on just how serious a situation this is, given the obvious provocation by the CCP. Not only that, they're being red-pilled six ways from Sunday in just about every other category, as we've been discussing in recent days. So as scary as all of this is on the surface level, understanding what's at play and who's in charge provides us with far more insight than any news article ever will. Trump and the White Hats are allowing these scripted scenes to play out to wake up as many people as possible before the eye of the storm hits. Folks, the alliance has far more advanced technology in their arsenal than the enemy does. And they have assets that can effectively mitigate any threat that the cabal poses. One of which is Starlink, that we all know is far more than what Elon or anyone else in the know has ever shared publicly. And of course, this is the same company owned by the individual spearheading disclosure on Twitter. So I'm very confident about where we stand right now. And what comes after fake Biden's State of the Clown show will likely corroborate much of what I've conveyed to you tonight. So buckle up, folks. It is indeed going to be a bumpy ride over these next several weeks and months. We all know it, but we also know the inevitable outcome of this struggle. God wins. And all of us are going to bear witness to him moving his hand on behalf of humanity, manifesting his will through the alliance and the digital soldiers like us who are carrying the cross of truth for the rest of our brothers and sisters. And we will take it across the finish line. The time is drawing near, folks. not long from now, not only will we be vindicated, but we will also be elevated to our rightful roles as leaders of this new world. The very roles which were divinely appointed to each and every one of us. Hold the line, Patriots. The best is yet to come. All right, folks, hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. You can let me know in the comments. Please be sure to leave a like if you did, and also please be sure to take a moment to follow me on the different platforms I'm on. I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. Also, you can check out the links in the description to follow me on Telegram and Truth Social. Also, folks, speaking of the links, please take a moment to visit patriotunderground.shop. I am just continuing to get more and more satisfied audience members who are emailing me and letting me know how much they're enjoying these products. I have stickers, hoodies, t-shirts, beer mugs, water bottles, you name it. There's a wide variety of high-quality items, very affordably priced, and it helps me out tremendously in working toward my goal to become a full-time podcaster to serve each and every one of you, as is my passion. Also, folks, I want to encourage all of you out there to please consider becoming a patron. My patrons have made such a huge difference on this journey. I can't even begin to tell you how amazing it is to have folks who have made a monthly pledge, a commitment to support my work. It is just on so many different levels, folks. You have no idea how much this has fueled my passion. And I just want to salute each and every one of you and invite other audience members out there to consider becoming a patron and getting first access to all of my new content as a way to say thank you. And finally, folks, before I sign off tonight, I just want to remind everyone to check out patriotswitch.com, the best company out there for all of your personal and household products. This is a company that operates with integrity. They have more than 2 million members who have already made the switch. Folks out there like myself and many, many members of my audience who have made the commitment to reallocate our financial resources with our spiritual and political ideologies. This is how we strike back against the cabal, folks. This is a fluid situation, an ongoing war, and each of us digital soldiers has a role to play, and this is how we strike back at them economically. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, thank you for listening. I'll be back soon. Until then, God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.